When I was a young Christian, I used to listen to a lot of Christian music. I still do, but I got introduced to a particular person called Keith Green. Anyone here remember Keith Green? Yeah, I thought there'd be a few in the first service. Blank looks, but that's okay. And I used to listen to a lot of Keith Green on a tape, but the problem I found with Keith Green is that his music was so convicting that for a fair while I took the tape out of the tape player and put it away because I couldn't hear the words. They cut to my heart so often, particularly a song called Asleep in the Night, Asleep in the Light. But there were other Christian songs by Keith Green that I particularly enjoyed and particularly loved, and one of them was one I'm going to play a small part for you now. Thanks, Sam.
You know, I look around at the world and I see all the beauty that God made. I see the forests and the trees and all the things. And it says in the Bible that He made them in 6 days, and I don't know if they're literal 6 days or not. Scientists would say no. Some theologians would say yes. It doesn't matter to me. But I know that Jesus Christ has been preparing a home for me and for some of you for 2,000 years. And if this world took 6 days and that home took 2,000 years, hey man, this is living in a garbage can compared to what's going up there.
The clouds, birds fly, singing, making such a joyful sound. Thoughts of heaven somehow seem to fill my mind, but I can't even imagine what it is.
So, who just had a little flashback moment? A few of us. Actually, as I was working on this sermon for this week, that song kept coming back into my mind, and I was thinking about it and working on these passages, and I came to a conclusion that whilst I loved the music of Keith Green, and it was particularly convicting at times, I actually think Keith might have got it wrong on this song. You see, when we hear the words Jesus in John 14 when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, I don't know about you, but I often think he's a bit like a celestial project manager. And this idea that he's been working on a place for some 2,000 years. Because we're looking at this series on what is Jesus doing now. We've looked at, Jesus has risen from the dead, he's ascended on high, he's coming back. What's happening in that gap of 2,000 years and counting? And we've been looking at how he reigns on high at the right hand of the Father. We've looked at how he holds all things together. We've looked at how he's the head of the church. That was last week. And today, it's quite possible that when you hear those words, you might think, oh, and he's a celestial project manager, putting all things together and getting ready for our heavenly mansions. But is that the case? Have a look with me at Revelation chapter 21. The context for Revelation, as we've often said before, is that John has this vision, a revelation, of what Jesus is doing and what's going to happen at the end. And the context for this is that this is the very end. This is the apocalyptic writing that talks about what's going to happen at the end. In Revelation chapter 21, it says, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no longer any sea. Now, you often hear me say that God is bringing about his good plans, his good purposes. You often hear me say that. This is an example of God bringing to completion his good purposes and plans. when you consider the whole Bible, what it's talking about is what God has been doing from beginning to end. And you can think of it a bit like a clock face. 12 o'clock, God creates the heavens and the earth. 3 o'clock, we turn up on the scene. 6 o'clock, we mess it up. We fall, and the world, through death and decay, is all messed up. 9 o'clock, Christ comes and rescues us. 12 o'clock, new heavens and new earth. So you get the idea? From beginning to end, you see the creation and the new creation. God is making all things new. God is bringing about his good purposes. And we see it here in Revelation 21. A new heaven and a new earth is part of that good purposes. And there's something that you can get a lot out of this passage, but two things I want to focus on. One, the description of this new heaven and new earth shows that it is a physical new heaven and new earth. Heaven is not some state of mind. It's not some metaphysical, spiritual experience, out-of-body type sort of thing. And we know that because from the resurrection accounts, don't we? Jesus physically rose from the dead, bodily rose from the dead. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 15 as well. The imperishable becomes imperishable. The mortal becomes immortal. The second thing that we notice about heaven and about what God is bringing about is that it's also of great beauty. Verse 2 says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? And then if you jump to verse 11, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. And then if you jump to verse 18, you read, and the wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth chameleon, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. I don't know quite how to say all those different precious jewels, let alone what they might be, but you get the picture, don't you? This new heaven and a new earth is not only physical, but it is beautiful. And why is it beautiful? Well, Keith Green was sort of telling us that in some sense it's because God's been working on it for 2,000 years. But actually, no, it's because everything God does is beautiful. Everything he does is wonderful. So in summing up Revelation 21, God has good plans. A new heaven and a new earth, and it is beautiful. But the question remains, is the place that Jesus refers to in John 14, when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, is that Revelation 21? Is that the place he's talking about? Well, let's have a look. Join with me in John chapter 14, and let's have a look at the first couple of verses, verses 1 to 3. This is Jesus speaking. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is one of the favourite passages for funerals. I was talking to one of our parishioners in the early service who works as a funeral director, and between us we couldn't work out how many times I've actually read and preached and heard this passage at funerals. It's quite a favourite. Rightly so. It is encouraging. Do not worry. It speaks about Jesus preparing a place and the promise to return to take us to that place. And many people especially love the old translation. Some of you might remember the old King James version of this, where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we all get very excited. I'm going to get a mansion. Sorry to burst your property bubble. See what I did there? But it's not a very helpful translation. It's better understood as rooms, which is what we hear in our NIV. So in my Father's house are many rooms. The idea of Father's house, Jesus is speaking about heaven. That's obvious. He's speaking about heaven, being with God. The idea of rooms is a little trickier to understand because, again, when we hear this idea in my Father's house are many rooms, it gives us the impression that Jesus is going to prepare a room for us. He's like this celestial project manager and he's got this whole angelic team of tradies, you know, angelic plumbers and angelic carpenters and angelic electricians. Is that what he means? No, what we need to see here is that Jesus is clearly stating he is going to do what is necessary to prepare a place for us. The reference to rooms is not meant to explain the architecture of heaven or our living arrangements of heaven, but rather, he says, I go to prepare a place. I will do whatever is necessary to prepare a place. The rooms are assurance. Basically, Jesus is saying, in my Father's house are many rooms. Don't worry, there's room for you. You will not miss out, is what he's basically saying. And I will come back and take you there. I would have told you if it was anything else, he's saying. But when you consider verse 3 and the rest, you see what this idea of preparation is about. What is it that Jesus must do in order to prepare a place for us? What is it that he must do? Well, what needs to be done so that we can be with the Father? This is not a trick question, by the way. What needs to be done so that we can be with the Father? We need to be forgiven. Our price must be paid. Jesus gives his life on the cross, the atonement of sin. You know all the words. And if you were to pick up the images of John, you would remember that in John chapter 1, he says he gives us the right to become children of God. So we need to become a child of God through the work of Christ. And when you consider the context of this passage, remember, this is John 14. Do you know the time frame of John 14? Do you know where it fits in Jesus' ministry? It's the night before the crucifixion. It's the night that he's betrayed. It's the night of the Last Supper. And so here is Jesus saying to his disciples, seeing the cross over the horizon, literally even, he says, I will go and prepare a place for you. I will do what is necessary so that you can be with the Father. And there's plenty of room, don't worry. The act of Jesus' sacrifice is so that we might be right with God and welcomed into heavenly places. So you could say, Jesus is not a celestial project manager working on all the different rooms at the moment and decorating them. The place was prepared 2,000 years ago. Just waiting for us to take up occupancy. In layman's terms, Jesus is saying, do not worry. Keep trusting in me. I'm going to do what is necessary so that, and for us, it's the other side of the cross, so I have done what is necessary, so that you can be with the Father forever, your salvation is assured, and I'll take you to be with me. Now, you might be thinking, but Greg, aren't we doing a sermon series on what Jesus is doing now? And have you just said that Jesus has prepared the place already, before? That doesn't seem to gel with this idea of what is Jesus doing now. And the answer to that question is, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. The place is already prepared. My dear friend Keith Green is not quite accurate in the idea that Jesus is working on the place for 2,000 years. He did it on the cross and rising to new life. He's prepared the place for us. But there is something that Jesus is doing now that's related to this. John 13 through to John 17, those chapters are what are often called the farewell discourse. So this is the night before Jesus dies. It's the farewell discourse. He's teaching his disciples. He's teaching them about what is about to happen, his arrest and death. He's teaching them what will happen after that, and in particular, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Have a look at John 14, verse 16. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and you will be and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So what we see here is that Jesus is speaking very clearly to his disciples then and to us as disciples now. You are not alone. As God's faithful people, the work of the Holy Spirit will continue in you. And the reason being is because he is with you and in you. He will help us to be more like Jesus, to hear his word, to be convicted of our sin, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. We have been prepared by the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to put it to you, Jesus is not at this moment in time preparing a place. I put it to you that he's already done that 2,000 years ago on the cross. But what he is doing right now is preparing us for the place. Make sense? He's prepared the place for us on the cross. He's now preparing us for the place through the work of the Holy Spirit, through what we call sanctification. So what are we to do with this? Well, here's a couple of things we're to do as we understand that what Jesus is doing now is preparing us for the place. Firstly, from John chapter 14, verse 1, do not worry. Don't panic. See, we don't need to worry about, are we good enough for God? We know we can never be good enough for God except through the blood of Christ. I can't do it on my own. So we know that, don't we? So we do not worry about being good enough for God. Jesus has done everything for us. He has prepared the place. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to do is do not worry. Sounds like the first one, slightly different emphasis. Do not worry that there won't be enough room. If anyone ever says to you, oh, there's only so many places in heaven, oh, just walk away. There is plenty of room. For in my Father's house are many rooms, Jesus said. If there weren't, I would have told you. So do not worry. There will be plenty of room. Do not worry. I've got it taken care of. I've prepared the place and all that's necessary. And the third thing we need to do is do not worry. Sounds like the first two, again, slightly different emphasis. You see, we need to allow God, through his Spirit, to do all his good plans in us. Often, daily, allowing and inviting God's Spirit to work in us, to make us more like Jesus. Do not worry if it's taking a while. Do not worry. It takes time, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I feel like it's sometimes 2 steps forward and 1.5 steps back. So do not worry. God will bring to fruition his good purposes. So what is Jesus doing now? Preparing a place for us? Well, technically the place is already prepared. That was the cross. That was the resurrection. So, dear old Keith Green, it's not a case that Jesus has been on the job for some 2,000 years. But I can tell you it will be beautiful and it will be incredible. Because Jesus and God have done it. The Father have done it. And everything they do is beautiful. But what is Jesus doing now? Not so much preparing a place for us, but preparing us for the place. Let me pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you have indeed prepared a place for us. And in Christ alone, Lord, we are right with you. We are children of the living God. And Father, we thank you that that place is prepared, that there is plenty of room, and we do not need to be worried. But Father, we ask now that you would continue to bring about your good purposes, that your Spirit would dwell in us and through us, making us more like Jesus and preparing us for the place of being with you for all eternity. And this we ask in Jesus' name.